This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
This man has been driven to success, and that's after overcoming some pretty substantial challenges in his journey. It's led him to open a wonderful place, actually two places in California, Kava Bar. Yes, and we're going to learn more about that and his journey. This is the Mystic Water Kava Bar and Wellness Center, and he's Avi Weber. He's back with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Excited to dive into this.
Likewise, because your story is very compelling and somewhat amazing. How you've, and you shared a lot of your story with us last time. We're going to dig back into it. Remember this, $8, everybody, $8. This is where it began. Before we get to that, for anybody that doesn't know, Kava, what is it? Why is it so special? Why did you decide to open up places that serve Kava?
So Kava is a tea, or an elixir that they've been drinking in the Polynesian Islands for a little over 3,000 years. We're using the root of the kava plant, and you mix it with water. It's a muscle relaxer, stress reliever. It enhances sociability. It improves mental clarity. It's an antidepressant, anti-anxiety. But it's, you know, a lot of people think of kava as, oh, it's going to help me relax and go to sleep, right? But on the islands, they're using it to bring their community together. You're not bringing your community together by putting them to sleep. Relaxed and tired is not the same thing. But we're not used to being relaxed. So when we feel relaxed, we think we're tired. But if you can function relaxed, everything you do is going to be enhanced. And so 15 years in the bar scene, the nightclub scene in South Florida, you know, Kava is like everything I would have done partying back in those times. And so that's why I opened. But I opened my first place because I found out for myself that kava is not habit-forming or addictive.
It's almost as if you replaced alcohol for kava tea.
100%. That's exactly what I did.
Wow. You know?
And then because I lost a lot of friends to the party scene, I opened my first store because it's a party plant. It just, you get the medicinal benefits from drinking. Like, you're not getting it on one shot. You know, I'll tell everybody, you know, one shot of kava is like you licked an aspirin and put the aspirin back in the jar, right? You have to drink a bunch of it over a couple of hours. You drink some, you know, and it's, from what I gather, I'm not a scientist or a doctor, you know, so, but what I gather is it's slowing down how fast my body reuptakes dopamine. So I drink 10 shots of kava today, you know, and then maybe for the next 2 or 3 days, my dopamine levels are slightly elevated so that the things that would normally trigger me, they're not triggering, right? And because I'm being held in this peaceful place, because my dopamine levels are slightly higher, I get a different perspective of my world. And because my triggers aren't triggering, I'm changing my perspective of the trigger. Now, all of a sudden, traffic doesn't bother me anymore. So now I'm in rush hour traffic. It's not bothering me. I just became a happier person. And so you drink a bunch of kava today, so the dumb things your community does tomorrow doesn't bother you. But because you're not in an altered state of being, the perspective change is yours. The only way traffic is going to bother you again is if you start letting it bother you again. And they say the people in Vanuatu, which is where they believe kava originates, and then as that country's population grew, they took the crops to the other islands and propagated the rest of the South Pacific. But they say the people of Vanuatu and Fiji are the happiest people in the world, and they equate it to their kava consumption.
Would you say a good analogy might be, we're a car, and with today's world, society, our cars are just going fast. We're just driving down the road. Kava slows the car down. Doesn't change anything, except it slows it down so that we can look around. We can actually see things as we're driving, internalize them, enjoy them, take a look at the scenery, as opposed to always being in this anxious, kind of moving fast kind of state. You're not tired. You're just kind of taking it all in. Would that be kind of an accurate way to describe it?
Yeah, it settles you into your skin, I guess. You know, it's a grounding kind of like thing, but it's not slowing you. It's, you can be running 100 miles an hour and still be peaceful.
Gotcha. Yeah. Different types of kava? What are some examples?
There are 185 different cultivars of kava out there, but there's noble kava, wild kava, two-a-day kava. But the only kava you should consume, from what I have learned and what's been taught to me, is the noble varieties of kava. Wild kava is not necessarily, they would say it's not fit for human consumption, So noble kava, lateral roots, if you can get it. I've been serving 100% lateral roots since I've started. It's more of like the ceremonial grade when they start putting the stump, it makes it more of an everyday drinking kava. And different things. Some are more heady, some are more in the body. I serve kind of a more of a complete, like a full spectrum type of kava. And yeah, there's a lot, 185 different cultivars of kava is, but I didn't know that when I started. When I got into kava, I just liked what it was doing for me. I didn't know too much about kava, and that when I was opening the kava bar, we had this art installation being made, this gigantic banyan tree. And I only had $25,000 to open my first business. It was a $10,000 loan and or a $10,000 credit card and a $16,000 personal loan.
Well, let's go back even before that. Didn't it start with $8? That's what you had at the moment?
So I was doing this Kundalini yoga practice that my sister gave me. It was for opening the heart center in Prosperity. And 8 months after I finished doing that practice for 120 days, every day, 120 days. If I didn't finish it by midnight, I started over from day one. And that happened a few times. But there was one time, it was like 11 o'clock at night. I hadn't done my practice yet. I just finished work. I went to the bar with my friends, this little hole in the wall bar on Fort Lauderdale Beach. And my conscience is like, dude, you haven't done your practice yet. And it just kept eating away at me. And I literally went into that hole in the wall bathroom, locked the door, and did my yoga practice on the bathroom floor. And said, that's it. I'm never going to do that again. That was disgusting, But I think it's because I did that. It took it to another level. The amount of the love that I had for this woman at the time fueled everything that I was doing. And that's why they say love something more than yourself and there's nothing you can't accomplish. Because that love fuels everything that you're doing. But maybe 6 months after I finished that yoga practice, I wanted to go out with my friends, but I didn't know how much money I had. So I called the bank. I had $8 in the bank. And the lady on the phone was like, but your account is flagged for a credit card. I'm like, what? I thought it was like credit card fraud. I don't even have a credit card. What do you mean And she's like, no, we want to give you one. And I'm like, you want to give me a credit card? Like, you must be nuts, And so they go through the process on the telephone. And I know, if they say, hey, we're going to call you back in a week, that just means you were denied, and you're just going to get a letter in the mail and say, hey, you were denied. But she comes back on the phone a couple of minutes later and she's like, okay, you've been approved. I'm like, what the hell? And so, go through the motions and I ask what the credit limit is. And she's like $10,000. And I had a good friend of mine, Shabazz, and he said that he would match my investment if I wanted to open a cup bar. So I have this $10,000 investment now. And I was like, I think I can do this with 20 grand. So I have Shabazz, I have 10 grand. And he had just lost his job at the, and the only place he could find work was in DC. It's a ridiculous programmer, computer person. He gets a job in DC. He's like, I can't help you. I'm moving the family to DC, blah, blah, blah. He's like, call the bank and ask for a loan. I'm like, there's no way the bank is giving me a loan. You know? He says, just call the bank, ask for a loan. And one day I came home, you know, stressed out about everything. And so I called the bank. And again, same process. But 10 minutes later, they're coming back. They're like, they're giving me a $13,000 personal loan. Do you want us to mail you the check or deposit into your checking account? I said, deposit it into my checking account. Called back 5 minutes later, I have $13,008, you know. And then a couple of days later, I was like, let me try my luck. I called the bank back and I say, hey, miscalculated my loan. I need another $3,000. And so again, the same process, it comes back $3,000. So now I have a $16,000 personal loan from the bank, a $10,000 credit card. And then I get a $25,000 loan to buy a new car. I never walked into the bank. This was 10 minutes over the telephone. And at the end of 2008, for a bank to give a broke waiter with a very low credit rating, 60 some odd thousand dollars in credit? No. And I just knew that that was the practice, bringing in prosperity and abundance.
You're convinced.
Correct. There's no doubt in my mind. And so I used the $10,000 credit card and the $16,000 personal loan to open my first location.
Wow.
But I spent 20 of those $1,000 building a fake tree. And everybody thought I was nuts. They're like, dude, what are you doing, man? Like, and I don't know, you know, like when I signed the lease and I walked into that kava bar for the very first time as this owner of this up and coming business, that voice that guided me in the bookstore to the Flower of Life, that stopped me from getting hit by a car, said, Avi, put the bar inside a banyan tree. And I said, okay. I had no idea how I was going to design the bar. I didn't have a clue. I was just going to have a bar, whatever, you know, no clue. And this voice said, put the bar inside a banyan tree. And I said, okay. So I listened, and then we found an artist, this guy, Stefan, and I told him what I wanted, you know, kind of showed the layout of this bar coming up out of the trees, going over the entire bar. And so he starts welding, you know, rebarb and stuff like that together, and he builds this skeleton. But $20,000 out of $26,000 to build a fake tree, you know, I started running out of money. I got fired from my job. The managers got angry that I was opening my own business. So they were like, oh, your heart's not really in your work anymore. And they fired me. I think they just let me go because they were jealous that I was starting my own thing.
But meanwhile, there's no competition between where you were working and what you were building.
No, not even close.
Right.
You know, Tequila Ranch and Cava, you know. Right. But one day I decide, okay, I'm going to throw these little private parties. I'm not technically legal allowed to sell Cava yet because I don't have the business licenses and stuff like that in place. So I'm going to hold Cava tastings. So you and your friends, you want to know what Cava is, you know, come on in on this evening, you know, and I'm just going to serve everybody Cava. You know, a friend of mine was a DJ who would play the music. And you guys can leave a donation if you feel so inclined. And this old dude comes in off of the street. He's like, you know, what are you guys doing in here? You know? And I tell him I'm opening up a Cava bar. And he starts to tell me all of these things about Cava that I had no clue about, because I just liked Cava. I didn't know anything really about the culture. I just liked Cava as what it did for me, the muscle relaxation, the stress relief, you know, great night's sleep. You'll sleep great after a night of drinking Cava. You wake up refreshed, no hangover really. And so he's telling me there's 185 different cultivars of Cava, you know, the islands where they believe it originated. And he has this whole history. You know, he tells me that, you know, the sacredness behind kava and how they discovered it was there was this royal family on one of these islands and in Vanuatu, and the sister is getting married off to another tribe, and she doesn't want to go, and she takes off running into the jungle, and that's a no-no over there, I guess, at that time, you know. And so the other tribe hunts her down and they kill her. And now the brother is miserable. You know, they were very close. He's distraught and he wants to kill himself. And one day he sees this rodent chewing on this root of this plant, and the rodent keels over. And he's like, oh, you know, if I eat enough of this plant, it'll kill me. And so he harvests the root of these plants and he starts chewing on it and chewing on it. And he passes out and wakes up the next day in the best mood he'd been in a long time. And now kava becomes one of the most sacred plants out of the Polynesian Islands.
Wow.
And that's what kava is. It's going to bring you out of it. Doesn't, you can't run from your problems on kava. Right? It's just going to bring you to a peaceful state so that you can see your problems with less stress and anxiety. So maybe you can navigate them differently.
So I want to look at the things that presented for you. You get the loan from the bank, then you get another one, then your credit, right? Gets upped and up. 2008, very financially challenging time for many. And then you're thinking about opening a kava bar, and then you connect with somebody that gives you insight on kava and how wonderful.
Yeah, a stranger right off the street, you know. And but the fascinating thing about that whole, like, it was just a party. He just walking by, he wanted to know what was going on. He was drawn in. But one of the things he asks me about all of this, this art installation that's not even finished, you know, all this rebarb around the bar. And
sure.
And he's like, hey, you know, so what is that? You know, and I was like, oh, you know, it's my version of a banyan tree. And he's like, oh, isn't that interesting? And I'm like, okay, why is that interesting? And he says, you know, they believe kava originates in Vanuatu. And in Vanuatu, it's traditional to build your kava bar underneath a banyan tree.
Was that why you were building a tree?
No.
You were already doing it anyway.
I was building the tree because as soon as I walked into the place as the owner, I just got the keys from the landlord. That's my place now. And that voice said, Avi, put the bar inside a banyan tree. So I said, okay, you know, I'm going to do it. I had no idea how I was going to do it or what I was going to do. But that voice told me to do. I had no clue about any of that. But now here's this stranger on the screen. This guy actually left and came back later that evening with the traditional, like one of those tiki mask type of things from Vanuatu. It hangs on the front wall of the kava bar in Ventura right now. But what are the odds of that?
Well, that's where I was going with that. Do you believe there are no coincidences?
There are no such thing as coincidence. Everything is scripted in a very strange way, you know. And I've been learning that more and more now over these last two or three years.
I get you. Sometimes we don't understand it, and sometimes we need to take a step back and just look at everything and put the pieces together and process. And I heard recently, not coincidences; they are coincidental incidents.
Just, okay.
They're happening because they're supposed to happen in that way. And it seems that's the way it was going for you. But I want to go back. Now we're talking, you know, not even 2010 yet. And the mindset was different back then. We weren't into, you know, more holistic type things. There were some, but not to this degree. You're opening up a place that sells tea. Polynesian tea.
Right. Correct.
Big risk, I have to say, because you know, things were different back then. Even Starbucks wasn't as popular as it is today. Did you doubt yourself? Did you doubt the idea?
No, I don't think I did at all. I just was kind of in the motion, you know. I really loved this girl Holland at the time, you know, and one of my main reasons for opening that kava bar was to show her what I was capable of doing.
She was with you at the time? She was part of your life?
Yeah.
If she wasn't around, would you still have done it?
I became who I am today because of her, the conversations that we had, the things that were unveiled to both of us around the same times. Like she really made me want to be a better person. And as cliche as that sounds, you know, if like I said, you know, that the book, The Ancient Secret to the Flower of Life, you know, I only found that book because I remembered her yelling at me one day, telling me I needed to read more books, you know, just very, very surreal. When I first met her, it was at the Kava bar. I discovered Kava app.
Wow.
Her and her two girlfriends came in. I was there with the owner. You know, we started to talk. But when she introduced herself to me, there was somebody standing behind her eyes, waving at me. Hey, it's me. It's me. Do you remember me? It's me. You know, and it wasn't a feeling. Like, that really happened. And like, not, oh, I think I know this person from before. And it was that I need to know who this person is. What the hell was that? And just so many of those, it was almost as if I had some teacher dropping these little nuggets.
Breadcrumbs.
See,
she's giving you breadcrumbs.
Right.
All of them.
To see if I understood what was being shown to me, because I'm going to have to understand all of that to hold this space for what was being created.
It's almost as if she was paving the way for you, because the little things that she was throwing out there, you needed to go to the next step,
Right.
Would you say that based on Holland, people are in your life for a season or a reason?
Yes, 100%. You know, You've been in this situation before. Oh my God, I was just in this moment 6 months ago, or I just had this experience a year ago. Like, it's the exact same thing. And what I started noticing is that it might not be the same people, but it's definitely the same personalities, right? Mm. Those personalities create the situation. They create the experience, right? The lesson, it's not about the person. It's about what happened, but you need that personality to create that experience. And so, yeah, these people they show up in your world to create that moment so that you can gain something from that moment. And as everybody says, like, if you look back on your worst moments, you know, if you really pulled up the bootstraps through those moments, you came out a better person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But the people that were there and why, and then even as we're talking, you know, I remember, got divorced, said, I'm going to just go date now. And I didn't hold back. First person I met, this is what she said. She goes, why don't you ever live in the moment? You're always living in the past and in the future. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. You need to live in the moment. And then that was a game changer for me. And again, another woman, a couple of years after that, I was going through a skin cancer situation, had radiation, and you know, I was at her place. She comes home. She goes, "Oh my God, let me take care of you. You know, your face is, you know, peeling off. It's horrible. Let me take it." She was a nurse, and then I realized, oh, that's why you were in my life. You know, and I helped her as well, but it was she was there for that reason. So I think Holland was there. You needed her at that moment. She was almost like, you know, the kick in the pants to push you forward with. and arm you with information and direction. I want to keep going. We're out of time. Yep. Your story is amazing. Love it. And there's so many universal things, universal takeaways from it. Mm-hmm. MysticWaterKavaBar.com, two locations. Ventura, is that one of them? Do I have that right?
Ventura and Huntington Beach.
Avi, wonderful talking with you. An amazing story, you know, and also inspiration for us as well. You know, when we get kind of down and out, you know, with worrying about money and things like that, $8 in your pocket, lots of challenges before you, and you pull it off and you create this wonderful community and a beverage that supports people. Fantastic. I appreciate you being here today.
Appreciate being here.
Yeah. And looking forward next time we get together. We'll be right back.
All right.
This is the Global Podcast Network, where executives and professionals connect, share, and inspire. Stay tuned for the conversations that drive success.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.